بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Three or four scientists going on a cruise. So to pass the time, they began talking to the captain. You know about science, astronomy, stars. You know about Darwin, you know about evolution. Do you know about gravity? I didn't know all these things. Then you wasted half your life. And they went on traveling. And the boat came into some troublesome waters. So the navigator says, you know, you'll have to jump and swim to the shore. It's about 3 kilometers. You can make it if you can swim. So they say, but we haven't learned swimming. So then you have wasted your whole life. I wasted half my life, and you wasted your entire life. So this, the Tasawwuf is all about this application. One is the theory, and the other is the application. We hear hadith, the stories of the righteous, the pious of the past, they conduct their behavior and how they carried themselves. We think sometimes that will it be possible for us to be like them, to emulate them, to follow them. So we take out some time and switch on to Allah Ta'ala entirely. See, throughout the year, our minds were on different stations, FM, AM, SM, and all the stations they were moving around. The actual station was Allah Ta'ala. That was the actual station. Maqam Rabbi. That was the actual station. When that's the actual station, then did we any time we give ourselves entirely to Him. In my namaz, I was just thinking today, what's an easy way to do this? Because the mind is such that you try to chase one thought, another one comes. Think of something, another thing comes. So one simple way to get that right is to repeatedly say, Allah Ta'ala, I assign myself to you. Tere supurd. Tere supurd. Ya Allah, tere supurd. The thought comes again. Don't fight the thought. Say, I assign myself to you. All my concerns, myself, my dependence, everything, I assign myself to you. Right? I mean, what a safe sanctuary. When you have assigned yourself to Allah Ta'ala, then can there be a better sanctuary than that? And then with that you say, La manja, wala malja, minka illa ilayk. Wazannu annahum, la malja, lahum illa ilayk. So, one is you say, Labak, I assign myself to you. And then you ask yourself, can there be any other sanctuary besides Allah Ta'ala's? A sanctuary, an asylum, a security. Can there be anything better than that? So let me just assign myself. No matter what's happening, who's saying what, or whatever, just switch off onto the station. That we are assigned ourselves to Allah Ta'ala. Whichever way and however, but we switch on entirely to Allah Ta'ala. So this is required, because see, you keep using a battery, right? Then you have to pull the battery out and send it for charging. When you're sending it for charging, you can't be using it at that time. Then give it entirely, let it recharge, and then use it. But you keep using it without recharging it, then you'll finish exhausted. See? So at intervals, you give yourself entirely to Allah Ta'ala, And when you gave up eating, drinking, and other type of sensual pleasures, so isn't this the ideal time that you dedicate yourself, assign yourself to Allah Ta'ala? If you're talking about sukut and sukun, Sajjee Rahmatullah, see that the two things that are required in this is sukut and sukun, silence and calm. It is, when you say calmness, then don't deliberately let the mind run around. Right? I need to buy bread, I must go and meet this person here, and what about that meeting we have scheduled, and you know I have to go and see that physician, and so on, so I leave all that, just give yourself to Allah Ta'ala. For these few days, just give yourself to Allah Ta'ala. Those thoughts will come, and I showed you an easy way that you can just break away. In fact, this comes in the Quran Sharif also. What's the meaning of وَاسْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ? The Mufassirin say, really, because tabattul will take you to zikr. But why did Allah Pak speak about zikr first, then tabattul? Tabattul is to break away entirely to someone. That's tabattul. You cut yourself off, you broke off, and you went to someone entirely. But here, وَاسْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ. So the reason that most Mufassirin say that really zikr is the maqsood. The actual objective is zikr. But you only get into proper zikr when there is tabattul, when you turn yourself away, give yourself entirely. So you first start off with zikr. It takes time to get this level of concentration. It takes time. So you're not supposed to be disheartened if you don't get that level of concentration. At least one limb is engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then try and improve it. There will be some ways or the other that you can improve this relationship, this affinity, and this bond with Allah ta'ala. So if you are being thankful and appreciative and using yourself now from zikr lisani, then you come onto zikr kalbi. So your heart is also engaged in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Before it was just the heart, just the tongue. Now it is the heart and the tongue. And from there, you escalate from zikr lisani then to zikr kalbi. And then you escalate again. Again now you come to zikr huzuri. Now you can feel the presence of Allah Ta'ala. See, zikr lisani, then zikr qalbi, and then zikr huzuri. The presence of Allah Ta'ala is being felt. Now, this presence of Allah Ta'ala, when it is felt, and it is felt not just as a temporary feature. One is, you get the feeling, that I mean the presence of Allah Ta'ala. Right? Sometimes you may get it in an ijtima, sometimes in a bayan, sometimes in the Haramain, at some places you may get this type of feeling. But it may be just a short experience, and then after that the thing just weakens off. Now, this feeling to be there all the time. So when this feeling is there, of the Divine Presence, then it is practically impossible to do any wrong. You're feeling the presence of Allah Ta'ala. Meaning His love, meaning His majesty, His power, His might. So that is the topmost in your mind, prevails over your mind. The majesty of Allah Ta'ala, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, the power and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love and the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then is it possible for you to commit a wrong? Virtually it's not right, it's not possible. Just imagine for a moment, just give you two examples, right? You got a person who's got a gun that is already cocked, and he's short-tempered, short-fused is, and it is his daughter that is pretty as ever, and she like three-quarter nude. But he's got the stun gun cocked like this, zoning like this. Would you have any feeling towards it? Because you know the power that's behind. When you know the power that's behind, then you don't dare doing something like this. But we don't understand the power of Allah Ta'ala, the might, the control of Allah Ta'ala. So our mind goes on to anything and everything. Someone's janazah, your father or someone that is very dear, and his janazah is lying here. Can you be tempted to anything else? So these two things, one is the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, and one is the thought of death. The thought of death is overwhelming, then you can't do wrong. Perhaps you start off with the thought of death, and then that will take you on to the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you can't do something wrong. The idea is that you resist taqwa. That is the whole idea. So these are all means to take you to taqwa. So then the lisani, then qalbi, then huzuri, and then there's a stage above that. That stage is such that you become oblivious of yourself as well. You've gone into such a deep, deep thought of Allah Ta'ala that you forget you forget yourself as well. That's what they call fana'ul fana. That you are in that level of meditation or remembrance that you have forgotten yourself, that you exist as well. That it is just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See? Just Allah Ta'ala. You don't even see yourself. So this zikr has to be improved. Not that now you may learn to make zikr, say, 10 years, 15, 20, 25 years ago. From then to now, then this presence of Allah Ta'ala hasn't yet improved. The idea is, أن تعبد الله كأنك ترى. But then, it is nice to retrospect, nice to reflect, okay, am I improving anyway? Am I improving anyway? Or I'm still the same person? So, that's what you need to see. See, the taqwa that we practice nowadays is self-defined. We have defined, we have given a definition for taqwa. Our definition for taqwa nowadays is that in the presence of people, then I must be flawless. Okay. So, when you're in the presence of people, you won't watch porn. You won't look at a girl or a boy, perhaps with a girlish face. And in fact, maybe in the presence of people, you don't mind talking to that boy, because people won't say that you're doing something haram. A man is talking to a man. So what's in your heart and concealed, he can't make out. So you take a chance and do such a thing like that, right? So what's your mindset? What's your reasoning? Your reasoning is, in the sight of people, I mustn't be doing something that is embarrassing. So then, who's become your God? I mustn't do something that is embarrassing in the sight of people. So I can do something embarrassing, but as long as it's not in the presence of people, people don't discover what I am doing. But the same person now is alone, perhaps he's in his room, or in a toilet, or in the bath, or he's isolated somewhere where nobody knows him then. Now he's a different person. So this presence of Allah, that zikr must bring you to such a level that whether you're alone, whether you're amongst people, but the presence is overwhelming. Dawud Thai, he's a student of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi alayhi. Now, he speaks of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi alayhi. He says, I saw him amongst people, I saw him alone. But now, I inquired from him, that I see when you are amongst people, and you're alone, then you always have your topi on. Your feet are not straight, always folded, topi is on your head, and your feet is always folded. But I don't see you doing it even in quiet when you're all alone. So Imam Saad Rahmatullah's jawab was, Are Badshah ke samne koi pair pehlata hai. Before the king, can anybody spread out his feet? Before the king of all kings. So the presence is so much. Not that it's the sunnah to do it, but I'm just showing you that presence is overwhelming. So that overwhelming presence brings about a certain type of a behavior. We're not talking of it being sunnah, but we're showing that what was the state of the presence. And exactly the same we saw in Hazrat Rahmatullah. Never you'll see him without a topi, never you'll see him with his legs, feet straight, folded, always folded. Same. So that presence of Allah Ta'ala was so much. In fact, Hazrat Rahmatullah is passing away and he's seeing that his topi is right. Even at that stage, see that presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so much great. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي. That's what you call. So this khawf will make you behave in certain ways. That behavior we will not say is sunnah, but that presence is not just a sunnah, it's a must to understand, to realize, to be conscious of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a must. So this is what is called sukoon. Now, how do we get that sukoon? So anything that can break that sukoon, that must be set aside. Anything that can break that sukoon, that can interrupt that sukoon. So I was asking someone, he was telling me, if you got a phone, can you have sukoon? He's telling me. So I say, why? This is now, you got a phone, ab baja, tab baja. It rang now, rang afterwards. Namaz, this thing here. Going to sleep? Who's called? Got up in the morning? Who's called? As though that was the masnoon dua in the 21st century. When you get up, who's called? When you're going to sleep, then who's called? Now, is there the divine presence? I tell you what presence. This presence is called egoistic presence. Yeah. Who's called me? I'm so important. Where the call came from? So, yeah. But today, no call came. No, I didn't receive anything. So you feel very distressed or depressed when you don't receive a call. And the day you receive it, then you feel so elated. So, let's move from Allah Ta'ala to self. I think from the time they started the selfies, all these things started off. Self. It moved from Allah Ta'ala and now it's gone to the self. So, if you have this thing here, then it's difficult to get this type of sukoon. So now, you should tell yourself, there'll be a day where I'll be blocked. See, we are blocked now, right? And we feel so much that we are blocked. How much we feel, right? But then there'll be a blockage one day that you'll be blocked from all sides. From the right, from the left, from in front, from behind, from above, from beneath. You're blocked all sides, you can't make a move. Then you'll think that this block was just a block. When you come to that block, you will come to your senses, hey, this is just a block, this is an imagination. This is a real block. So, you want your actual freedom in that moment. That moment you want your freedom. So how do you go? There was someone was saying about that Yusuf, Umar was saying about his brother-in-law, passed away in Riyan. His tabiat went not well around 6:15, just after Maghrib perhaps. And his wife felt that he's having difficulty in breathing, so she put on the nebulizer. So she asked, she called, let's take you to hospital. No, my time is up now. No, don't speak like that. No, my time is up. And then he looked in one direction, said, Allah, 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 and then, Assalamu alaikum. Gone. Assalamu alaikum, and he's gone. Whether he was telling his wife, jaate ho jaane jaana, aakhiri salam lete jaana. Going now. Jana jana is the beloved, right? So you're going. You're going. Akhiri salam lete jana. Now our meeting is on the morning of Qiyamah. See? Then Mawlana Hashim saw him. He saw the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He's on a white horse. Came to fetch this man. Isn't he fortunate? Well, there were two, three things that I marveled in the boy. One was this, that although he was totally handicapped, couldn't hardly move a limb. You know how difficult it is. You're itching here, scratching this side here. Total dependence. But with all that, he'll have a smile and he'll say, Alhamdulillah. You know, with the big hair, Alhamdulillah. And then he'll be conscious about his wuzu. My wuzu is done right on the flight. See the elbows. Is it washed properly or not? So he'll be really be careful about his wuzu. And maslas also he will find out. Right? Allah Pak make me maaf. He used to ask me maslas first. But now it became a little too much for me. So I dispatched him up to someone else that can tolerate him. So someone was teaching him all the maslas. But you see this. Now, when he passed this block here, this earthly block, now he came to his freedom. That's why he said, Assalamu alaikum. I don't want you now. Now I'm going to another realm. I'm going to another realm. Now I've gained my real freedom. See? So I don't want to see you now. I'm going. Allah grant us. Sometimes you think that the type of blessings that was enjoyed by the awliya of the past. Now some of the ummatis are enjoying this type of things. But it's a little bit of sabr and patience that you have to go through. Right? And the difficulty will end. At some point it will end. It's not a thing that a difficulty is lasting. The Imam Sahib read this morning, حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَيُّتْرَكُمْ. Right? There's a perfect prescription for this. So you're going to go through some difficulty, sometimes wealth, health, conditions, people, the law. So something or the other may not be tasteful, may be distasteful. You will not enjoy it. فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. And Allah Pak does this. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. To make out the genuine from the counterfeit. You buying something, right? So you want to know, is it genuine or counterfeit? You know, Asghar went to China, you know. So he went and bought some latest gadget, you know. Latest gadget he bought. Packed in a nice box. Brought it here, total counterfeit, not working. See that? So, when you're paying the price, then you want to know whether this is a genuine thing or it's a counterfeit thing. You are saying to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak, I love you. My heart and my mind, I love you. So doesn't Allah Pak have the right to see whether you are genuine in His love or you counterfeit? Doesn't He have the right? He's all the right to see that you're genuine. You say you love, so then what is the percent? So I'll put you through the tracks. One difficulty. And each one will have his fair share. Sometime within the home, sometimes within the business, sometimes within the health, sometimes the children, sometimes the in-laws, sometimes the addictions. So you have different trials. So in all that, Allah will say, وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. You want to make out the genuine from the false, you want to make it out. أَمْ حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَيَّسْبِكُونَ سَعَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. So now Allah is allaying our fears or our concerns. What? Allaying our fears or our concerns. Yeah, these people are doing this. What are they doing? They're always working against Muslims. So that concern, right? So Allah Pak says, حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَيَّسْبِكُونَ. Do they think that they will frustrate us? They will overtake us? Can anybody think that he will frustrate our plan? He can't frustrate it. Just now Allah Pak will catch him. So do you know what about that? Leave that to what Allah Pak is saying. You know what about him. You do your work. Leave him to me. Leave him to me. Dharni wa man khalaqtu wahida. I created the world. Leave me to him. Or leave him to me. I will sort it out. Why are you worried about it? Why are you talking about it? Dharni wa man khalaqtu wahida. How clear the verse is. Kalla innahu kana di ayatina anida. Saurhiku sa'uda. He was a refractory, in other words, in opposition to Allah Ta'ala. So, Sa'urhiku Sa'uda, we will ascend him to the mountain of fire. Not as a mountain of fire, we will push him up. So, Inna ufakkadara wa qaddar, he's making all plans, thinking, plotting, all that. فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ. Allah said, just leave him to me. I will sort that out. You do your work. But you are leaving what you're supposed to be doing and you're losing out. What you're supposed to be doing, you left it out. So aren't you in a loss? Leave him. I know what he's doing. They can't do anything without my Mashiach. So I will sort that out. But are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? I quote this example, you know. In the old days, so you're getting two trains coming on different lines, and they have to meet up on one line, on a single line. Because there's one village, and the village has got one single line. They're coming from different lines, and this one line they got. So one is a goods train, and one is a passenger train. So they will ask that goods train to stop and they'll allow the passenger train to move because the passenger train has got scheduled stops. Stop at Vellum at 7 o'clock, then Stanger 8 o'clock. So that thing can't break the schedule, right? Because people have to jump in and jump off. The goods, one was here, there, they don't mind. So now, in the middle of nowhere, they're saying the passenger train, you stop. So that thing stops at one spot, right? Nowhere now. So the locals are seeing other thing. Goods. It's a goods train. So full of goodies, what else? Now, how to work the whole thing? Because in the front is the engine driver. At the back is the guard. So now the locals, what they do? Make a plan now. Let's make a plan. So one person is like very, very athletic. So he must go and swear the guard. Hey, you like your boor and you like this and like this and that. One boor, one bullet. Policy 94, they should say these things. So that boor used to become really, really red on the face. And he's not leaving. But the moment the boor jumps off to chase him, the rest of them are on the top. They're cutting the thing and all the goods out. So that's shaitanic plan. See, what shaitan is doing? Is distracting your attention so that he can rob you. You worry about that. By apnifikar karo. You think about this. What must I do? So Allah is saying, "Am hasibal ladina kafuru ayasbikuna." Do they think they have overtaken us? They gone and they have frustrated us? No, they can't frustrate. They can't escape ayasbikuna. They can't escape us. In our clutches, it's stupid to think that they can escape. Nobody can escape. Whoever, the king of the world, whoever, but he can't escape. Do they think they can escape? Can't escape. What a stupid reasoning. Now you say what you must do. ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. من كان يرجو لقاء الله فإن أجل الله لآت. Now this other ayat is explaining the same thing. من كان يرجو لقاء ربي فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك. So he says, you see, if you really wanting to meet Allah Ta'ala, and you really want Him to see you right, you know, simple language, to see you right, to see you well, He's giving you two things. He said, then abstain from two things. What he says, if you really want Allah Ta'ala to see you well, then you take care from two things. One is love and unnecessary meeting people unnecessarily. I think our families are practicing this, right? But after this as well, now when there isn't a genuine, valid reason to meet, then just leave it out. Because لِقَاءُ النَّاسِ لَا يَخْلُوا أَنْ قِيلٍ وَقَالٍ. You meet, for the meet people, either udhar ki baat, there will be some ghibat here, panchat that side, some gossiping that side, some carrying tales. Do you get anything out of it? Do you get anything out of it? In fact, you begin to become, sometimes you become paranoid, you begin to hallucinate, when you keep hearing all these negative stories. So why listen to it? Leave it, you're a happy man, you're enjoying life. So why bring some crease in your happiness? Why bring an interruption? Enjoying, you're happy with your children, all that, wife, children, house, you're happy, enjoy. For the sake of Allah, so that happiness can drive you even more better. But now you must bring that pain. So Allah Taradushi says, Allah will start to us these two things. Leave out this liqa. Yes, this is a genuine need. Genuine need, then it's no problem. You see, Hazrat Ali used to say that most of the wrongs that happen is because idhar udhar aise waise logo ke saath milne ki wajah se. Meet that person, this person. Now, when you're meeting all that, everybody comes with his own baggage. When he comes with his own baggage, you're taking from him, and you don't know, you can't sift out. At that time, you don't know what to sift out. See, this meeting, al-kitabatu nisful liqa. This meeting doesn't only mean meeting. Today, that phone is also a meeting. In fact, that is a disaster. If this meeting is a problem, this phone is a disaster. You ask me, I'll tell you. I see this thing all the time. The marital problems linked to the phone. You can't see a man is innocent, and nowadays I can say safely that a woman is also not, in many cases, not all cases, but she's also not innocent. It's so dangerous, so dangerous. You know, just one case. The man writes up and says, Alhamdulillah, my wife is deendar, punctual, tahajjud, namaz, Quran Sharif, dedicated to looking after the children, etc. But I am an accountant at a superior level. So because I'm at a superior level, so I'm required to know something about the forensics. And when I'm supposed to know something about the forensics, then I need to know how to hack into a computer, right? So because that's part of my job, description. Now, because of that, so my family was going to the bath, I went into a phone. So all records were right. Then I went and looked, you know, because of the phone, I'm checking in history. I mean, the marriage about 15 years, right? So I'm looking at the history before that. Now I see she's in high school, she's in varsity, and then she was in love, and serious intimacy. Now she's changed her life, and before this marriage, right, I've got 2-3 children, she was also doing some things there on the side. Now what must I do with this marriage? See that? So this thing is such a dangerous thing that no matter how long it happened, then they can lead the evidence. One is that they go into your history, and from the history they go through the clouds and they retrieve all the information. And then the game is up now. Now, do you have the same feeling for your wife? Or if your wife discovers that, does she have the same feelings for you? You see this problem. What a dangerous thing is. What a dangerous thing. So they go right up to that point. So it says at least 60-70% of the marital problems is on the phone. Right? It's not a blessing. You won't be wrong if anybody says it's a curse. So you can lead up information right so long, 15 years, 17 years, check all that, bring it out. Right? So I had to answer that chacha, whoever it was, to him, see, don't think of doing that. Because of two reasons. One is this. In this type of an illicit affair, right, people generally only look if the woman is guilty, right? This type of an affair, what people generally look at, if the woman is guilty. But many a teenager that went to high school or university, he had his own share also. He had his share. He did some things. He can't say that he is totally innocent, right? That's one reason, right? The second is this. After marriage, there was no trace of any wrong. She had something, it was a teenager, it was haram for her to go to the school, high school and that university. Unfortunately, she went there. She got herself mixed up and messed up, right? Right. But now her track record is absolutely clear. That means she's a faithful woman. But إِنَّهَا كَانَتْ مِنْ قَوْمٍ كَافِرِينَ. She was amongst the fujar there. She was amongst a very illicit crowd and that affected her. Now she cleaned herself. And I said, if you're going to divorce her, when men also have the same problem, right? They can't be saying that they're not flirting or talking nicely, sweetly and all that. You can't say that. If you are in this type of environment, very seldom you find the person wasn't involved. And if you're going to, then you may get a woman that is even worse than this. Now, you saw this both sides. And the third thing I told you, you don't ever mention to your wife that this is what I've seen. Because your relationship will be affected. What you will get out of it? She'll ever feel insecure. She'll get distressed and depressed. And the marital life will be affected. So you see this, Hazrat is talking about sukoon. And the things that break up the sukoon. I spoke about Ulama Tartushi. One is liqa. And the second thing says, and leave out, this is one, right? Leave out liqa or nas. And the second thing says, leave out competing with people. Leave out competing. He's got a car, what car I bought? He's going for Umrah, what am I doing? He got this jacket, what am I doing, right? He's got this type of a house, this type of appliances, what have I got? This type of holiday, what have I got? His children are like that. So you leave all this comparing and competing. If there's a competition, then in righteousness. Sabiqu ila mughfiratin min rabbikum. Sari'u ila jannatin. So that's where you need to compete. And this thing, you don't need to compete. It's not a thing of competition. The material is just a need. Like how a toilet is just a need, right? Toilet is need. So you use a toilet paper. If there is a need for a toilet paper, you use it and then you throw it, right? So that's the material, right? So same, you use that wealth or material and you leave it after that. You don't keep accumulating toilet papers in your pocket. Use it, put your pocket here, right, left. You do that. It's exactly the same. Use it, then leave it now. You needed it, you used it, finished. But that's the thing. It destroys the whole life. So it says these two things leave out. Meeting people and comparing, vying. You know? You want to vie, compete. What he's got, what I've got. What he's got, what I've got. How much he's selling it for and how much he got a better contact. Who's that contact? The whole night the mind is spinning. He's got a better contact. Where he's getting it? Getting it 1 rand cheaper. So he's making a better profit than me. So must get to know that. Why tumhari dukan to chal rahi hai, why you stressing about that person? Your business is carrying on, it's flourishing. They worry about akhirat, worry about your qabr, how much preparation you might make for that. So, see this morning he made that, he read that. Man kana yarju liqa Allah, fa inna ajra, Allah has given you the assurance, why you're coming there. You will see me, inshallah. You will see me, with my grace, you will see me. And remember, man jahad fa innama yujahidu li nafsi. You are striving. You know, yesterday I gave that expression of mujahada, exertion. Two words that are very, very close in English. One is exertion and one is exhort. You exhaust. Exhaust yourself. What? Exhaust. Right. I was the top machine one day, you know. Long time, the madrasa was functioning there, long time. So I had to go to the toilet. Now two children are in the toilet. And I don't want to make my presence known. I can see they're communicating. So one broke in. The other one is saying, you got exhaust problems. I have to be very discreet. If I were to make a noise, they'll know somebody is there. But now, من كان يرجو لقاء الله فإن أجر الله لآت. Then he says, من جاهد فإنما يجاهد. You see all this what you're doing. You're exerting yourself. You're exhausting yourself. It's for your own good. من جاهد فإنما وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ. Allah Pak doesn't need it. Yes, he appreciates, he likes it. But he doesn't need it. If all become kafir also, it doesn't decrease his majesty. If all are becoming the great abids, it doesn't increase his izzat. It's for your own good. Like the father, he advises his child, hey, work, man, work nicely. It's for your own good. I don't need your wealth. For your own good, I'm telling you. Similarly, Allah is saying, with the loving kindness, he's saying, but for your own good, you jahid, you're working for your own good. فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَنُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. Now, if you work then, you made some small mistakes here and there, we'll wipe it out, don't worry. All of us have some small mistake here and there, we do something we're not supposed to be doing. So Allah says, لَنُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيَاتِهِمْ وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَحْسَنَ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. We'll reward them for their good works. But what a beautiful passage to be read in this time. The whole Quran is beautiful, but it's so applicable today for this condition that we are going through. How applicable. So this with the two advices that they should give, sukut or sukun. So sukun, why sukun? So now if your mind is at ease, settled, right? And I say the easy way to get it is thoughts will come, don't fight the thoughts, just say, I have assigned myself and all my concerns, I have assigned it to Allah Ta'ala. Myself and all my concerns, I have assigned it to Allah Ta'ala. Come again, repeatedly, second time, third time. Keep coming. And shaitan also have a fair share. Some people, some ulama say, small shaitans are still loose. Big shaitans are all chained, right? The small ones, they still carry on making the masti. Now you, at home, at the gulf, or you are making namaz or something, right? Sitting in namaz now. So, shaitan will put a thought in your mind. Yeah, you know that business you're doing, that you got a loose end. I don't know if those people, those staff, they're putting a job there. They're putting a job, there's one loose end. And then the shaitan is having his fish. He says, see, these thoughts came in namaz, so it must be a good thought. Because it came in namaz time. Or I was in jamaat and this thought came, so it must be an inspiration. It can't be a made up thought, you see. See how shaitan will work on you. So the whole demeanor, everything went away. From Allah Ta'ala to this couple of bobs that you're losing, everything went away. See how it plays in your mind. Right? Leave all those bobs and sobs. Right? You are working for a higher goal. You are high, for the highest goal you are working for. Some time, some mind, some dedication is required. So all these things that will distract you, just leave it out. Small things, big things, just leave it out. And keep saying, Allah came for you. That is my, you look after my time. I assign myself to you. You take care of me, my concerns. Everything that relates to me, you take care of it. It's all about you, you make it happen. Now in the 9-10 days now, then you've assigned yourself to Allah Ta'ala, then won't Allah Ta'ala take care of you? Ufawwidu amri ila Allah. You did all the work, and then you say, Allah, I assign myself to you. I trust you. Hasbi wa ni'mal wakil. You are enough. And you're the best to take charge. You're saying that repeatedly in your mind, you're saying, for huwa hasbi wa ni'mal wakil. He's enough. And he's the best to take in charge. I can't take in charge of my things all the time, 24/7, every time, every moment. I can't do it. Hasbi wa ni'mal wakil. So I've left it to Allah will take care. I've left. So you're letting that being be the topmost thing on your mind. An easy way to get that little bit of concentration. So now, at least for the 9 days or 8 days that we've got, we try and discipline our minds in that. Allah, I leave it to you. You take care of me. Of me and all my concerns. Everything that relate to me. Allah pak tawfiq naseeb kare.